today as we come to the table.
He's the new guy that's now saved, and everybody, hey, well, he knows everything. God said, you know what? I can't even use you until I work all of you out of you. Same thing with Moses. Remember Moses, 40 years he was trained in Egypt. And then God took him to the backside of the desert for 40 years to get the Egypt out of him. Isn't that something? And by the time he was humble, God said, now you're ready. It's interesting. I still love that story. You read about Moses. And Moses said, all right, now I don't want to do it anymore. I'm older and I don't care about the fight and all the struggle. So I'm fine with just a few sheep or whatever. God says, okay, now you're ready because you're not going to try to take any of the glory.
Are you an older believer? Have you been following God for years? Has He brought you through your own desert, just like Moses? What did those years change in you? Are you like Moses, saying that you're not even interested in the fight anymore? Pastor Mark says that's the time when God can use you. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark of Calvary Knoxville. When you're not hungry for the fight, you let go of the glory that comes with it. Take a second look today. Is there a fight that God wants you to get involved in? It's time to follow Him into the fight and give Him all the glory. And if you're not sure you want to get into it, walk alongside Paul for a little while in today's message. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 9 as he begins his message, The Years of Preparation.
So we're up to Acts chapter 9. Probably going to take us a couple of more times in Acts 9 to finish it. Matter of fact, I know it will, but we're going to cover today verses 23 through 31. Not a lot of verses, but a lot of stuff to cover. So let's read it together and then we'll pray about it and jump in. Notice in verse 23, it says, now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him. And they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and he brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. And when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Let's pray. Father, let your word minister today what you want it to minister. I love, Lord, the fact that you have a specific message for us each time we get into your word. And there's something, Lord, you want to say to us this morning, Lord, about being prepared, about learning to wait, about watching you work, Lord. And I know it works on the individual level, and I know it works on the church-wide level. God, I've seen both and experiencing both. And so I thank you, Lord, for your promise to complete the work that you've begun. Lord, you're a faithful God, and you'll not start us down a journey that you won't finish. And so, Lord, help us to trust in that and to put our faith in you in that. And I pray that you would encourage us in that this morning. There may be some discouraged, maybe feeling like you're done with them, or you're not going to complete the work in them you've begun, or maybe you don't have something specific you've called them to do. I pray that when we see, Lord, the life of Saul, and we see your faithfulness and what you say in your word, that you will convince them, Lord, and give them rest and trust in you. So, Lord, open your word and speak to us and teach us. I'm just excited, Lord, about what you're going to show us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I hate to wait. I have learned kind of to wait a little bit because God has made me wait over the years. But you know what? It doesn't help living in a society where we don't wait. Think about our society. Everything we do is instant this, isn't it? We fax everything. We text everything. We email slow now. Because if I send a text, I just talk to my phone. Hey, what's going on? Boop, it does it, and there's gone, right? You know, if I email, I've got to either talk it longer or type it out or whatever the case is. Everything is getting faster and faster in our pace. And so what it does, it creates in us a desire for everything to happen immediately. Yeah, I mean, you know, back in the days of the Bible, they had to wait for everything. I mean, it took a long time just to go to the grocery store and back. You know, you couldn't, things weren't quick. I was yesterday walking in the mall and they have this new espresso machine that's something like in 15 seconds, the water's hot, you know, and like 30 seconds, you've got a cup of coffee. And I'm thinking, man, you just hit a button, it's done. And the problem with that, that's a great thing, is it not? That's a great thing. I don't have a problem with that. I like that. The problem with that is when it comes to being a believer in the kingdom, we've got a lot of lessons to learn in our society about waiting, because it's not that way with God. God doesn't bring us to the kingdom and hit some kind of spiritual espresso machine, you know? You know, and there's Mark. I'll say, oh, great, you know, whatever. The bottom line is it takes a while for it to develop. And guys, anything that really is worthwhile, that is artistic, for the most part, unless God does it, it takes time, unless God does it instantly. And that is where Paul is today. God's going to be showing Paul that he's going to take years, or rather Saul, he'll be Paul, years to get his life where it needs to be. And God is going to do that. He does preparation time in our lives as well. And some of you, when you gave your life to the Lord, you were ready for ministry to start right now. And in a sense, it can. That is, you can start sharing your faith right away. You can start serving at the church right away. But I guarantee you this, you're not going to be doing what it is God wants you to do long-term right away. It takes time. And we're going to find out that although we read Paul's writings and we read the New Testament of all that Paul did and all that, we think, wow, Paul just got saved and he started going doing missionary journeys and planting churches and doing all this. Guys, it was probably 13 plus years before God called Saul and sent him out. And unless you know the timeline and look at the Word of God, you miss that and you don't know that. And some of you are wondering, I've been saved 5 years. I've been saved 7 years. I've been saved 10 years. Why isn't God using me in a greater way? I've been saved 23 years and I'm still asking the same question. Why isn't God using me in a greater way? But guys, I know that God has designed something for my life very specific, and I have to wait until God is done in all the preparation, all the trials, all the tests, all the things that have to happen until God finally has me where I'm supposed to be so I can be used in that way. And the same thing is true for you. God is preparing you. When the time is right, he's going to move in your life. Now, it's interesting. Saul here, literally, the word means desired. And I think that probably there were a lot of desires in Saul's life. Number one, Saul probably had certain desires he wanted for ministry. He wanted to be used in certain ways. We know he wanted to go to the Jews, and God called him to the Gentiles. And some of Saul's desires did not line up with God's desires, and that happens oftentimes with us as believers. But here's the thing to realize. God had a desire for Saul as well. And God had a specific plan for Saul that he was going to go to the Gentiles. He was going to plant these churches. He was going to do these missionary journeys. And here's the kicker, guys. Catch this. Paul could have negated every bit of that had he wanted to. Mark, what do you mean? Here's what happens. The Bible says that God has designed a plan for your life. Now, we hear that. And I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up as a believer and hearing God has a plan for my life, and even before I gave my life to the Lord, I heard that phraseology, God has a plan for my life. And quite honestly, I didn't take it seriously. What I mean is that not that I didn't take God seriously, but I kind of thought, well, you know what? Of course God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for everybody's life and whatever. But the more I study the Word of God and the more specific I see God is about what he wants to do with each individual believer, I understand that God has something he has laid out before the earth was created. The Bible says good works laid out for you before the foundation of the earth. Note this, that you might walk in them. Do you hear the word might? That you might walk in them. I think it means that God may allow you to, but there's also another, I think, hint in there. You know what? You don't have to. What do I mean by that? You don't have to fulfill what God's called you to do and still be a believer. You're saved. You're going to heaven. You don't have to obey everything God tells you to do, and you're still going to get in. And I'm going to tell you the real temptation right now, all right? Here's the real temptation. It's a lot easier to not do everything God has asked you to do and to go to heaven than it is to do everything God has asked you to do and to go to heaven. But here's the difference. The reward of being obedient and doing what God has designed is much greater. See, some of you are at a crossroads today, right now. You're at a crossroads. God has brought you here today because of this particular portion of Scripture. And what he's saying is, you have a choice. You can either take the easy path and still go to heaven, but have very little reward, or you can take the path that I've designed for you. And I don't want to picture it as some path that is so hard that no human can do it, you know, and it's kind of like a Rambo type thing where you have to go and do. No, the Bible says that the path we walk with God, if we're obedient to the Lord, it's going to be difficult at times, but it also comes with great joy and great reward. The Lord said, I've come to give life and give life more abundant. And here's my concern for me and here's my concern for you, that you guys settle for being a Christian and being saved. That's my number one concern this morning. That's what God has put on my heart, that you would settle for being saved and being in the kingdom. What do I mean by that? What I mean is simply this. God has two paths. You can either just be saved and go to heaven, or you can walk the specific path that God has for your life. Mark, how do I find that specific path? Pray and be obedient. God will lead you in it. If you really want everything God has for you, you're not going to miss it. It's going to be impossible. But Saul could have said, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm saved. I'm in the kingdom. I'm not going to go and plant all these churches. I'm not going to go and do all this stuff. And Saul would have had a much easier life. You know, one of the things we're going to notice about Saul is that pretty much everywhere he went, they wanted to kill him, and he caused a riot. Now, that doesn't exactly sound like the call that I would want to be in, right? And yet, if you're going to be obedient to the Lord in where he has called you, he was called to an area where they hated God. And he was called to a place where if you were a bold witness, that was going to be the result. He said this, I've got two choices. I can either remain quiet and miss what God has really called me to do, or I can walk down the path that God has given me to walk, and then whatever consequences come, they come. And I know that God was doing a work in his life, because again, it's interesting, Saul meaning desired. God desired Saul, even as Saul had certain desires. But by the time God is done with Saul, he changes his name some 13 years later. When he's finally called into the ministry after this conversion experience, he now changes his name to Paul, which, by the way, means little. And what do I mean by that? Well, I think that Saul probably had a lot of pride that had to be dealt with. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had been raised at the feet of Gamaliel. He was out killing the Christians. Now suddenly he becomes one, and he's now the big spokesman that's traveling to all the conferences, if you get the analogy. He's the new guy that's now saved, and everybody, hey, well, he knows everything. God said, you know what? I can't even use you until I work all of you out of you. Same thing with Moses. Remember Moses, 40 years he was trained in Egypt. And then God took him to the backside of the desert for 40 years to get the Egypt out of him. Isn't that something? And by the time he was humble, God said, now you're ready. It's interesting. I still love that story. You read about Moses, and Moses said, all right, now I don't want to do it anymore. I'm older, and I don't care about the fight and all the struggles, so I'm fine with just a few sheep or whatever. God says, okay, now you're ready, because you're not going to try to take any of the glory. And he calls Moses to do one of the greatest ministries we know in world history. What about Paul? Same thing. Starts out as Saul, has probably his own vision, his own desire, all the things he's going to do for the Lord. I'm going to take Damascus for Jesus. And then I'm going to go and take Jerusalem for Jesus. And then I'm going to share everything. And all these things that go through the mind of a young believer that's on fire for the Lord. And God says, boy, have we got a long way to go. I've got to break you. I've got to mold you. I've got to shape you. I've got to completely empty everything of you out of you. And then I can do in you what I wanted to do the whole time. I hate that process. I'm just being honest. I don't like that process. But I love the results of it. And it's interesting because I feel like I'm at a time in my life after 23 years down the road where God is starting a new phase in my life. Something new I sense is coming in my life that God is doing, and a new thing God wants to do in me, and a new thing God wants to do in ministry, and I think a new thing God wants to do here in Calvary Chapel. And I think, Lord, it took 23 years to get this point. You know, how much more time do we have? You know, we need to get this thing going. And some of you, maybe you're 5 years into it, and you're saying, Lord, why aren't you using me greater? Maybe you're 10 years into it. Lord, why aren't you using me greater? Maybe you're 20-some years into it like I am and saying, Lord, why aren't you using me greater? Because God has to do in us first what he's got to do before he can truly fulfill what he wants to fulfill through us. Are you with me? And so allow God to work. God has the molding and the shaping to do. Several centuries ago, a Japanese emperor commissioned an artist to paint a bird. This is a true story. A number of months passed, and after a few months passed, it says several years went by and still no peep about the painting. I threw that part in, sorry. Finally, the emperor became so exasperated. Listen to this. He went to the artist's home, it says, and demanded an explanation. I commissioned you years ago to produce this masterpiece. You've done nothing. Why not? Instead of making any excuses, it says the artist simply took a blank canvas on an easel, and in less than an hour, he completed a painting that is still a brilliant masterpiece in Japan today. And when the emperor asked for the reason for the delay, when he saw the beautiful picture that came out so quickly out of this man, he said, why was the delay? Said the artist went and grabbed armloads, get this, armloads of drawings over the years, feathers, wings, heads, feet, explained all the research and the study that he'd been doing over the years, and told the emperor that all of it was necessary before he could ever complete the painting that he'd been commissioned to do. That's what God's doing with you guys. All the years of trial, all the years of tests, all the years of things you're going through, God is working a masterpiece, but he's got to get you to where you're ready to do it. And when it's time, it's just going to happen. You're going to see an anointing. You're going to see God using you the way you want to be used. The key is you've got to be faithful now. Bloom where you're planted. You know, we're going to see that Saul went back to Tarsus after some 13 years. He was called back into the ministry. He probably spent 10 years in Tarsus. And it doesn't tell us what he was doing in Tarsus those 10 years, but I'll guarantee you he was involved in the fellowship. He was serving. He was doing ministry, probably serving in, you know, cleaning, kids ministry, men's ministry, wherever he was serving. And the whole time Paul's serving, think about his fire. Think about his energy. Think about, you know, God, why aren't you using me more? Lord, why isn't this happening? Why am I waiting? Let's go, go, go. Because Paul was a go, go, go type guy. And God likes the go, go, go type guy and girl. But if we go before God's got us ready, and if we go in a direction God hadn't called us, it can be disastrous. The Bible says zeal without knowledge is destructive. So we have to have the zeal and the knowledge and waiting. And then when God said, Paul, go, boy, did he take off or what? Changed the entire face of the planet. Used him to write most of the New Testament. And this is what God wants to do in our life. Now, I don't know what God's going to do in you as far as his ultimate call in your life, but it's the waiting. And if you're in that place, then trust the Lord. This is where Saul is right now. Remember from last week as we recap this, in verse 20, remember after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, it says immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that Jesus was the Son of God. And he goes on just, you know, right off the bat. Now, between verse 20 and down in verse 23, 3 years go by. How do we know that? The book of Galatians tells us. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians that after he was saved in Damascus, that God called him before he went to Jerusalem, by the way, which we're going to see in this passage. He goes to Jerusalem. So that's how we know these 3 years are plugged in between these verses. Before he goes down to Jerusalem, he said God took him down to Saudi Arabia in the wilderness and personally discipled him for 3 years. Jesus did that. Now, that's some discipleship I would like to have. Personal discipleship from the Lord. But remember, Paul, I believe, was the replacement for Judas. Remember when Judas betrayed, they drew straws and they picked this guy named Matthias? I don't think that was the Lord. I think that was Peter getting ahead of the Lord again. And so whenever we hear from Matthias again, he kind of disappears off the pages of Scripture. But I think that was their best effort to replace it. But what's interesting is God knocked Saul off of his horse and again spent 3 years with Saul training him, I believe, to be the apostle to take the place of Judas, even as he had spent 3 years training up the apostles in Jerusalem and in Galilee and the surrounding region. And so that's why I believe that Paul was that one. But now try to imagine the setting here. Paul gets filled with the Spirit. Paul is on fire. Paul goes down to Saudi Arabia, is personally discipled by the Lord for 3 years, and look what happens here in verse 23. Now, after many days were passed, i.e. 3 years, the Jews plotted to kill him. He came back and was preaching the gospel there again. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Literally, it means they constantly kept their eyes on the gates. And now, as we said last week, the hunter became the hunted. But this time, not by God, this time by man. They hated him as much as he hated the Christians before. And so now they're watching him, trying to catch him. Unrelenting is what the word means here. When it says they watch the gates day and night, it means they never stop. Someone was stationed there the entire time watching for Saul so they could kill him and take advantage of him. It's interesting to realize that there's only one step away from a goat and a sheep, and that is a heart that changes. Remember Saul, he was a goat. His heart changed, now he's a sheep, and now the goats hate him. And when you step out of one group into the other, there's that animosity back and forth that begins to happen. Saul used to be in that group. And again, some of you guys, we all started out as goats, didn't we? Not trying to be offensive, but we all started out as goats. And then we gave our life to the Lord. We became sheep. And now we're in the kingdom. And if it hadn't been just for that changeover, just that simple prayer that changes it over, then it never would have happened. But now he finds himself in this position. And now they're plotting to kill him. Now, again, imagine this. 3 years with the Lord. You come back fired up. Put yourself in these shoes. You give your life to the Lord. God pulls you aside in personal discipleship. You're reading the word. It's coming alive. You're praying. You get excited. For the first time in your life, you realize it's not just religion. It's not just church. It's not boring. I know him. He knows me. We talk to each other. There's a relationship. You're excited. And the mistake you make is that you think everyone else is going to be as excited as you are. And so you run home. And you run into your house and you tell your family and you tell your friends that have all been going to church with you, only playing religion your whole life. Guess what? It's real. You can know him. It's not just religion. It's not just church. You can meet him. You can know him. And you think they're going to go, wow, this is great. I wish someone had told us before. But instead they say, shut up. Who do you think you are? How arrogant. You holier than thou. You think somehow you found the answer. We don't know. And you're stunned and you're shocked. Have you ever, any of you ever had that happen? Some of you have. Because you're excited. And you went back to share your faith, and your family, your friends, they all looked at you like you were a nut, and they turned on you. This is Saul. Saul has gone back after 3 years of personal time with the Lord. He's probably thinking, man, I'm going to Damascus. He might even be thinking about planting a church. I don't know what he's thinking. But he says, I'm going into Damascus. I'm going to share the gospel, and they're going to be excited. This is real. And he goes to the synagogue. He goes to the Jews. Hey, guys, Jesus is real. This is not a game. This is the real deal. And they hate him, and they want to kill him. How do you think he felt? And notice what it says they did with him. They watched the gates day and night to kill him. And look at verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and they let him down through a large basket. Guys, interesting here. Notice they let him down in a basket over the wall so he could escape. And I tried to think about what Paul was feeling at this moment, or what Saul rather was feeling at this moment. And I think I know that feeling, and some of you know that feeling as well. You go to the people that you love and you're all excited with this new message that God has given you, and you feel let down. They don't believe it. Matter of fact, they want to actually kill you in some cases. And here they wanted to kill him, but they wanted him out of their face. And literally, he was let down in a basket. But I think there was something else going on in Saul's life. I believe Saul felt let down because he was so excited about the message that he had to bring, and nobody was ready to receive it. Some of you have felt that. Why won't my family listen to me? I'm so let down. Why won't my friends listen to me? I'm so let down. How come I'm not received better in this? Listen, because God has to get their hearts ready, and God is the one that works in lives. Our job is just to share it. We can't convert them. We can't make them believe or receive. But also, Saul wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared for what God has for his life yet. He was ready to share, but at the same time, Paul wasn't ready to give himself, you know, to be used in the way that God wanted him to be used. And so he felt the same thing that some of you are feeling. So know that you're not alone. You're in the same place. The great apostle Paul went through the same situation. And I think about Paul just being let down, so discouraged, inside this basket, hidden, sneaking away. And you know how bold Paul was. That had to be hard on him. And now he's rejected in a basket case. I mean, think about it. Guys, being rejected and being a basket case oftentimes is part of being a believer. It'll pass. It'll pass. It's not always going to be that way. God will get you where God is going to take you, and God's going to use you. No doubt God used the witness that Paul was there in Damascus, although he wasn't accepted at that time. We know there was a great church established there in Damascus. And so notice it says, when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. Again, this is 3 years later, but they were all afraid of him, and they did not believe that he was a disciple. I mean, can you blame them? Here's the guy that 3 years earlier was trying to kill them all and throw them in prison. Now he comes back and says, hey, I'm a believer. Can I join the church? Again, try to imagine Ahmadinejad or something giving his life to Christ and showing up in Knoxville. And here's Ahmadinejad. He shows up at Calvary Chapel. Hey, I love Jesus. Can I worship with you guys today? I'd be thinking, man, we got, I don't know if it's Jesus or Jihad, because I don't know that I would trust him. Are you with me? If they're that opposed to Jesus Christ in the sense of what we believe as Christians, why would we suddenly think they've changed? It took a while for them to believe that he's changed. But again, this is where a good friend comes in and basically gives him a good word. Notice it says, but Barnabas, verse 27, took him and brought him to the apostles.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's word has come to an end. The accounts of this book end up being the types of storylines that directors long for in a good plot of an underdog overcoming the odds and doing more than people would ever expect. But like many stories, they don't always have a happy ending, at least here on Earth. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Acts next time. But you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series in the Come to the Table section on thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. If you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For nearly 25 years, it's been been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through this radio outreach. There's always a seat for you. We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15, and in the evening again at 6. We also gather Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net to find a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share, so be sure to join us as we prepare to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.